Well, good morning. Well, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 14. 7 through 14. And if you're new, we are going through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we are Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 14. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. And we do lift up Lori now in Jesus' name, Father, that you provide what she needs, the healing, make her feel better. We do thank you for Gary back, and thank you for all the seeds that we planted in the Skillet Festival. You say that one plants, one waters, and you give the harvest. So we just pray, Lord, that those couple of folks that said they would come and visit, that they really would, and that you would put a desire in their heart to come and visit with us. We pray for all of our family here, that you would provide what you need, help us through the holidays, help us, guide us with all of the little activities we have planned. Lord, we do pray for our military around the country and all those foreign missionaries. And Lord, we thank you for the shoebox. And we just pray ahead of time that you will take all those shoeboxes around the world, all the little children that don't have anything, they don't have nothing. And Lord, we can spend a little bit of money and get them some really cool things and bring joy in their heart and open up the window that they can share the good news of Jesus. So Lord, we just start praying for the shoebox. Lord, let's shoot a goal for a lot of shoeboxes, maybe 100, but that's just me. Trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 14. Let's read, and here we go. Remember, guys, this is Jesus talking, right? He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Number 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Everybody say amen? Amen. Amen. So we know that over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about how to follow Jesus. Now, this is not necessarily the scriptures that talk about how to get saved. Sometimes people misunderstand these. But it's really about how to follow Jesus. What does Jesus require of us to really pick up our cross daily and follow him? Okay, now we learned last week, I wouldn't step on any toes, but last week we talked about stop being judgmental. So if you missed that message, I really want to encourage you to go to the website and look at it and listen to it. You know, if you miss each Sunday, try to check it out so you kind of keep going with us. You know, listen, they're usually like 20, 25 minutes. I try to keep it, you know, around that time. So there's three more things that I want to bring to your attention in this scripture, okay, about following Jesus. And here's the first one, if you're taking notes. Commit to constant prayer. Commit to constant prayer. This is what Jesus is telling us. Now, Jesus gives us, in this scripture right here we just read, Jesus gives us a wonderful promise about prayer. But, everybody say but? But, the promise must be kept in context. Okay, so be careful just kind of reading some out of the Bible sometimes and just going off in that rabbit hole with it. You need to really read and study of what this thing really means. If you have a subject or something like that and you say, or somebody says, man, you need to read 2 Opinions chapter 3, verse 12. And you look it up, right? And you read that. Don't just read that one scripture. You know? It's read above it a little bit, and then read below it a little bit to get a really good balanced, you know, understanding of what the Holy Spirit's trying to share with us. Cool? So just always remember that. I know you guys know that, but I feel like I'm preaching to the choir sometimes. But Jesus has been teaching us about the actions and attitudes that we need to have when we get serious about following Him. And we get saved, all that, now we're serious about following Jesus. Some of the principles, some of the things that He says sometimes is hard. Right? It may be a little challenging, maybe a little difficult. But we all know that, you know, we can do what? All things through Christ who gives us strength. And with God, all things are possible. So if we trust Him, trust the Lord, we can follow Him and we can mature as believers. This is really what this is about. It's about maturing as a believer. And one thing I found in the counseling world, that whenever you're maturing as a Christian, you'll also emotionally mature. You know what I mean? You know, I've seen people that were emotionally mature. I mean, they get their feelings hurt in a minute. And that's being emotionally mature. I get my feelings hurt sometimes, you know. But but as you grow spiritually, you will grow emotionally, you know, psychologically, you know, emotionally, you'll start growing and get more mature and more confident in yourself and that kind of thing. It all happens together. It's really neat how, you know, God made us, right? He knows what we need, you know. And so, there. Through the last few weeks, God has taught us about showing mercy, about extending forgiveness, not being hypocritical, laying up treasures in heaven, not worrying, and then stop being judgmental. So let's look and see what He has for us this morning in these short scriptures. Matthew 7:7, He says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." You see, Jesus is making sure that we really understand what this scripture means by tagging on verse 8. And verse 8 says, For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. So the question we need to ask ourselves here when we're doing good Bible study is, what does He mean when He says everyone? Does that mean everyone? No. If you look it up in the Greek, basically what it means is everyone who is a disciple of Christ. In other words, you've been born again. You've been adopted into the family of God. You are a child of God because you placed your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's who He's talking to here. He's talking to Christians, followers of Christ. Remember, this is about following Him. This is what all this is, these scriptures right here, that's what this is about. And so when we do good Bible study, we need to do this. This is a one little, I say cool thing, but it is. When you're doing Bible study, you need to, one of the most important things, not the, but a top five thing you need to do is analyze the verbs. When you're reading through and you're studying, analyze the verbs. The verbs in verse 7 is ask, seek, and knock. Those are all action words, right? Those are verbs. And it's kind of interesting how it makes an acronym of ask. Ask. Ask, seek, and knock. And you want to look into it too. It's also what's called present tense. You remember that from school? It denotes a continuous action. A continuous action. In other words, you want to, if you really want to be successful in following Jesus every day, you want to continually keep asking. You want to continually keep seeking. You want to continuously keep knocking. Remember, this is not about getting saved now. You don't want us to keep getting saved every day, right? Don't believe that garbage that you're going to lose your salvation because you stumped your toe and anyway, right? Said a bad word. I don't encourage you to say bad words. That's not what I mean. But, you know, sometimes we, you ever speed going down about Valhalla, you know? Certain denominations that they actually teach that your sin ain't going to go to hell if you just do one little thing more. And that's a lot of fear and condemnation in that. So I want to encourage you guys, don't believe that kind of stuff, you know? But here we're talking about following Jesus. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. But there's a second application to this promise. Notice the progression of the intensity. You know, it's ask, and it's seek, and then it's knock. Really think about that. And this reveals really our prayers. Our prayers need to be active. They don't need to be passive. Well, that's what Jesus is telling us here. It needs to be active. It needs to be, you know, we can boldly come before the throne of God now. You know, we're His children. He loves us. Let me give you an example. It's kind of silly, but I'll give you an example real quick. If you're praying for the Lord to help you find a job, you need to ask the Lord to help you find a job, and then you need to go and you need to seek one, right? And you need to knock on some doors. I don't want to get a, you know, meddling in all everybody's business, but there's jobs everywhere, aren't they? You know, you say you can't find a job today, you know, I can find two jobs or three jobs if I need to. Really? You know? These verbs teach that we should put feet with our prayers. Everybody hear me? Our prayers should not be for selfish reasons. You know? Really? I'll tell you a funny story. We were at the Skillet Festival yesterday, and my mom was, she called Lynn, and my mom says, Sharif thought that's funny too, but my mom says, she's talking to Lynn, says, hey, I'm going to, the garage sale in our neighborhood that day. You know, have a community garage sale. My mom says, to Lynn, I'm going to, the yard sale, and my friend is gonna drive, and, my friend's going to go with me, and I'm going to have him drive. I said, him? That's the only thing I heard. What you talking about, Willis? I stopped everything, didn't I? I was like, him? What is this? So my mama got a man? Dang. I still ain't got to the bottom of this one, but I am today. That's just funny to me. Anyway, it actually reminded me of something I told her a couple of years ago. I was playing with her. You know, I joke around a lot, you know. And I said, Mom, she was talking about how she, you know, anyway, she hadn't had a man long time, you know, hadn't married, remarried, nothing like that. And I said, Mom, you need, she was at the little retirement center thing, you know. I said, Mom, what you need to do is you need to find you an old rich man. And when he dies, you can get all his money. Man, she got mad at me. She says, I am not doing that. That is not right. That is not the right thing. I said, Mom, calm down. I was just playing. I was just kidding with you. You know what I mean? But for her, you know, walking with the Lord all these years, you know, God will provide or not, or she's okay. She's, you know, that kind of thing. And she got mad, didn't she, Lynn? I was like, Mom, I'm just playing, really. I'm just teasing. You know, I shouldn't even said that, but it was funny to me. But it says in James chapter 4, verse 3. This really applies. James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. This applies, right? It's the Word of God. So we need to examine our own hearts before we start praying and fasting over things. Right? Jesus continues on in the scriptures by explaining that He will give us good answers. He will give us good answers when we're praying unselfish prayers. Because we all know, when we pray, God looks at our heart. He sees our motives. He understands what we need. But here's the other side of that coin. He also understands what we want. Now sometimes, you know, we can take it way over here and start thinking that God's not going to give us anything that we want. He's just that little, not little, but he's just that taskmaster person that's only going to give us what we need. You know? And I don't see that in the scriptures. He'll give us what we want. Sometimes. Everybody say sometimes. He'll give us gifts. He wants us to have cool things. Now, you know, if my 7-year-old grandson wanted a 9mm pistol, you know, I think that'd be pretty cool, right? He would like it too, but am I going to give him a 9mm pistol? No, obviously, right? So sometimes, you know, not sometimes, I believe always. God knows what we need. He knows what we want. He knows if it'll be good for us or not. Now, when my grandson turns the appropriate age, then I'd like to buy him a 410 shotgun or something, you know. When he gets to be an adult, I'd love to surprise him, you know, one day for Christmas with a nice pistol or a nice gun. But that means that I'm going to bless him later. Make sense? All right, Romans chapter 7 now. 9, 10, and 11. Did I say Romans? I was thinking about something else. Sorry. I'm trying to use both sides of my brain. I could do it sometimes. I'm worried about the time, really. It's distracting me. Matthew 7, 9, 10, 11. This is what it says about the gifts. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though that you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? There it is. You see, now, we have to humble ourselves, okay? Because if compared to God, the best parents are just no good. You know, our hearts are wicked. Who can understand them, right? So compared to God, the greatest parents, man, just don't measure up at all. But God loves us. He loves us. How much more with our Heavenly Father who loves us? He's powerful. Almighty God. How much more does He want to give us these legitimate requests? And sometimes we got to understand, everybody with me? Sometimes we got to understand that our prayers and our requests, sometimes it's yes, and then sometimes it's no, and then sometimes it's, well, later. Later. It may be later. Maybe maybe later, Paul, did I get my bass boat? I don't care. If I'm 92 years old, I'm getting out of that bass boat. Right? It may be sooner. Who knows? That's up to him. So the requirements for following Jesus are stop being judgmental, commit to constant prayer, and comply with the golden rule. Okay, here we start talking about the golden rule. So in everything you do, what you would have them to do to you for... this sums up the law and the prophets. Now the golden rule, everybody say golden rule real loud. The golden rule sums up the teachings of the Old Testament. It's really cool when you look at it. I'll give you three quick examples. Exodus 23:4. This is what Exodus 23:4 says is, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. So if you find that wallet in the parking lot, it's got $100 in it, the golden rule says what? Find the owner, return his wallet with the $100, right? It's integrity. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So, if your neighbor has a 10-year-old girl and she's raising rabbits to show in the 4-H club, she loves her little rabbits, and you're out in your backyard and you love your little flowers that you planted, right? And you planted a special little flower, kind of reminds me of that Dennis Menace movie, remember? And the little girl's feeding her rabbits and she leaves the gate open. You'll get the picture, right? Rabbits come over and what do? They eat your precious flowers. Ah! So the golden rule says, you cannot be mad at that little girl. You can't hold a grudge against that family because they didn't manage your kids, you know, better than that. You've got to make an example that you're a follower of Christ. You have to share with that little girl, honey, don't worry about it. She probably feels bad. Don't you worry about it, honey. It's okay. It's just a flower. There are more important things in the world. Right? You've got to be able to do that. That's that golden rule. Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Here we go again. You're at work and you got that mean coworker who's rude and mean. And he or she ends up parking next to you occasionally. You get off work, you walk outside, and there's your coworker that's mean. You can't stand him. Can't stand him. She or he has got his hood up and you hear the car. And you gotta walk past him because you gotta go get to your car. You look and make eye contact and obviously you got a dead battery and you look and you make a kind of a, he's like, my battery's dead and I realize I don't have a jumper cable. And you know you got jumper cables in the back of your car. What do you do, Ashley? I got some jumper cables. I mean, he's done that kind of stuff, really, just making up examples. But you know, the golden rule says you gotta get open up your trunk or get in the back of your truck, get the jumper cables out, and help that person that you really don't like too much, you know. How we treat others should not, everybody listen to this now. How we treat others should not be determined by how they treat us, but by how we want them to treat us. So if you want them to treat you with kindness, fairness, then we have to treat them with kindness and fairness. Whew. That's what Jesus said now. Don't throw anything at me. The golden rule must be followed by everyone who strives to follow Christ. And that applies at home, at school, at school, at school, at work, on the ball field, everywhere. Amen? So to follow Jesus, stop being judgmental, commit to constant prayer, comply to the golden rule. And the last one is, choose the narrow gate. Choose the narrow gate. Jesus says to those who want to follow him, enter. That's what he says in verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. You see, God gives us two choices, basically. Okay, these are two ways to live. Remember, he's talking to Christians. Folks who have been born again and saved. Following him, two choices. The gate that leads to destruction is wide. I'll say it again. The gate that leads to destruction is wide. which many, many people follow. And they don't have a lot of boundaries, guys. Now hear me? That gate is wide and doesn't have a lot of boundaries. I mean, you can go in and hang around. I mean, it's free love, baby. You remember that? Come on, it's free love. Does it feel good? Does it make you groovy? Right? It's just wide. Everybody's going through it. Everybody's hanging out, going in and out. It's wide, not many boundaries. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. Be careful. Jesus said many people gonna go through this. This path is easy to follow. Anybody can follow this. And many enter this road, is what Jesus said. However, Jesus says his followers must enter the narrow gate. Matthew 7:14a and b, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. I know it's been a little long, so I'm closing right here, so hang with me. I don't want you to miss this part. And don't take me wrong, just hear my heart on this. But getting saved, being born again, that's sort of the easy part. I mean, think about it. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is just believe. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, repent of our sins, and just receive the gift of salvation. That's it. But the gate that leads to Christian discipleship, the gate that leads to Christian maturity, to growth, to become what God's really called you to be and do, that's hard. That's hard. I'm being truthful with you. It's hard. That's why that gate is very narrow. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifice. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus daily. It requires Bible study. It requires church attendance. It requires participation in the church. It requires fellowship and opening up yourself to others to be maybe even rejected. You have to become friends with people again. Some of you know what I mean by that. You have to trust. You may have to give. All these things that Jesus is talking about is spiritual maturity. It's growing in the Lord, and we're all on our different paths. However, only the narrow gate that is hard leads to life and life more abundantly. And there are only a very few who actually find it. You know the scripture, right? The enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. We love to say that as a superhero scripture. Yay! But the Lord comes to give life, born again, and life more abundantly. The abundantly part requires work. Requires discipline. It requires persistence. It requires making your mind up that, you know, I'm going to jump on this road and I'm going to follow Christ. And I'm going to obey Him. Amen? Matthew 7:14 says only a few find it. And you know what happens too with this? As you're growing and maturing, your marriage is getting better. Your children respect you more. Your things are going on. Things in life, you know, are getting better. Yeah, you're going to have your flat tires. The air conditioner's going to break. Things like that. But you will reap spiritual benefits as you mature in the Lord and mature in Christ. Jeremiah 21:8, and I'll end it with this. This is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. So I say this morning, choose. Choose whom you will serve. Will you serve the devil? Will you serve your flesh? Or will you serve God and follow Christ? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much, Father, that it, you said your word would go forth and would not return void without accomplishing what it was meant to accomplish in the world. So we rest in that. We rest in you, because you are everything to us, our families, our church, our country, our world. It's all about you. You are the Alpha and Omega, and you're the creator of everything. So, Father, there's someone here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. We're going to sing this song, Father, and when we're singing this song of invitation, I'd ask that they would come up and come down here and talk to me, and I'd be glad to share with them and pray with them. Maybe someone would like to join our church. This would be a good time. Maybe get baptized. This would be a good time. Come and talk to me. In Jesus' name. Amen.